Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It is good to be with you today. I am putting something together for both our listeners on Omega Radio and Blog Talk Radio this morning. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to have an interview with Patrick Wood, and I tell you, it was absolutely phenomenal, the way that Patrick introduced his subject and topic. And So what I've got going on here, just this is about a 30-second delay before we move forward as I'm downloading something for Blog Talk Radio listeners as well. Just in case you did not hear the message yesterday on KERM Radio with Patrick Wood, I'm wanting to play that for you here in just a minute. And so on the Omega Radio Network, if you go to OmegaRadio.org, I have some of the best interviews that we have done and we have heard in the last week that will absolutely inspire you. I've got some great music coming up for this wonderful season that we are in. I think you're really going to love, you're going to enjoy that. And some great messages, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Omega Radio Network is broadcasting some of the greatest messages. For example, in the slot that's coming up right now, I have an interview with Patrick Wood. I have an interview with Carl Gallups. I've got an interview with Daniel Seckham. There's an interview with Paul McGuire and Benjamin Baruch. There is more teaching from so many different people. I hope today will be a real, genuine blessing to everybody out there that's ready to go and hear some great information. If I didn't think it was terrific, I would not be putting it on there, but I am. And just while we're kind of waiting, I'm going to have to do a little refresh here, see what's happening with one of my audio videos. Let's see if I got it or not. Let's see if we did it, if we did it, if we did it. Did you come? It didn't do it. You see, it always happens like that. We are learning so much about how this works. So on Blog Talk Radio, we're probably not going to be able to hear this, but if you're on Omega Radio right now, I'm going to actually turn this on for you. Should I do that now or should I wait till 10 o'clock? I might have to wait till 10 o'clock. My profound apologies. My profound apologies. So what I guess we'll do today, because we are broadcasting on the Omega Radio Network right now, we should be live. And I'm trusting that we are going live right now. Let me make sure that my voice is up there. Test, test, 1, 2. I think we're doing okay. And than to our Blog Talk Radio. So what I was doing then is preparing these messages. And last night at our Bible study, we had a very good time. I mean, it was so easy just to flow out and get the information out. And it was a combination of Daniel Seckham, Patrick Wood, Carl Gallups, Vincent Xavier, Patricia Xavier, just a combination of so many different things and all relating to the Word of God. And this morning, I want to share something with you in our little Bible study time here about out of the book of Luke, something that really captured my attention. And let's go ahead. I'm going to begin this in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Pick it up. I'll pick this up in, let's go to verse 7. So Jesus put forth a parable to those which were bidden or invited when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when you are bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than you be bidden of him. And he said that, and he that invited you and the man come and say to you, give this man place, and you begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest room. When he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then you shall have worship in the presence of them that are sitting down at meat with you. For whoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And obviously, you and I, we know this principle, and I was thinking about this deeply. I mean, this is the conduct of a Christian throughout the ages of Christianity, that Christ calls us to a way of life that is not exalting ourselves or putting ourselves forward, but setting back and giving place to others and allow him to do the graduation or promotion, if you will. Jesus continued in verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him or invited him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. When you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Oh, and I thought about that, the resurrection of the just, that resurrection day, when that's when the recompenses, the rewards, what we have done on this earth with our lives are going to be, you know, an exact measure. Isn't that amazing? An exact measure of what we have done will be recompensed in the resurrection. And I love this idea, and I know you do too, that when it comes to making a feast, we all very much, you know, you have our friends, our family, but Jesus, he's talking about bringing people that we don't even know. It could very much be the homeless man that's on the corner, or the woman that is, you know, out there abandoning, you know, herself to whatever. It could be the drunken man. It could be the, you know, the people that we just don't know. So the whole idea is living and serving the broken. Sir, and you put this together with the message on humility. You know, rather than sitting, reaching for that highest place, come down to the lowest place. It's a heart attitude is what it is. And rather than having a meal with your rich friends and all the people that you're so comfortable with, it's having a heart going, reaching out to the poor, reaching out to the lowly. And so Jesus, in his parables, is trying to communicate a message, Pharisees of his day, but he's also talking to us about how we should be conducting ourselves. And then in verse 15 of Luke 14, and one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You know, so here's a guy thinking, you know, we're on our way to the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said to him, a certain man made a great supper, and he invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were invited shall taste of my supper. And that was Jesus' response to the Pharisaical mindset as he's talking about, you know, feeding the hungry and the poor. Well, this guy comes out and says, well, blessed are they who eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is like, dude, you're not even going to be there with your attitude the way it is right now, because you're a self-righteous hypocrite, you're a Pharisee, and you know, you're not condescending to men of low estate, you're not reaching out to the lowly, and you know, what are you going to do with this? And so verse 20 comes along, and Jesus, we hear that, and this is the most powerful. This right here, in my understanding of being a Christian and what it means to be a Christian, I mean, this is the one, and again, I know what's going on in the markets right now. I know what's happening with, you know, around the world, all the stuff that's happening everywhere. We're going to get into some of that maybe in just a moment, but we're talking about Christian conduct here. In just a moment at 10 o'clock or so, 10:30, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to turn on Patrick Wood and release Carl Gallups and Daniel Seckham and Benjamin Baruch. And you're going to feast on things that I don't think you've heard for a long, long time. Honest to God, it's going to be rich. But right now, this is that personal, you know, Selah in the midst of our lives where Jesus is telling us about how to live. And in verse 25, he said, there went great multitudes with him. I love this. And so you can imagine great multitudes are following Jesus. And it says here that he turned and said to them, so they're at his back, he's walking, he turns around, and he says these words. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I want to ask you a question. In this final moment of 2018, according to the Gregorian calendar, as we move into 2019, I happen to believe that the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth is at the door right now. I believe that with all my heart, especially after our Bible study last night, the richness of the Word of God. But I just absolutely wonder if in this modern age of nearing 8 billion people on the planet, how many billions are following Jesus, right, in one way or another, people just following Jesus. And I wonder if the Lord would turn around in these last days of 2018 and address everybody that's following him and say to them, hey, unless you hate your life and everything around you, sons, daughters, family, I mean, all of it, unless you hate it all, you can't be my disciple. And then he said, okay, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. In other words, the multitudes, the great multitudes, were following him because the miracles, the bread, the water, the food, the teaching, but Jesus addressed that issue with his statement. If you don't take up your cross, if you don't lay it all down, if you don't hate, love less everything in your life than me, then you can't be my disciple. And it's almost like he's just addressing, and I wonder how that may have sounded to the people at that moment. Call yourself a disciple. You go to church. You're following Jesus. You're going to Bible studies. You're out there doing all these works, feeding the hungry, you know, everything he just said. But at the same time, you're not carrying your cross of death to self or crucifixion of that old life, or you're just not. Hating, it's a tough word. Hating. Let's do something. Let's look at that word hate and see what it actually means, okay? Because a lot of people say, well, it means love less and all that good stuff, right? And we lessen the blow just a little bit. But let's take a look at that word hates. And I want to put it on again, where he literally goes out and says, let me just grab it. When he turns around and he says to everybody, unless you hate, and hate not his father. So let's put that in there. We'll put hate not his father. All right. That was huge in Israel because that's all relational, right? So that word hate there in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, the word hate is miseo, miseo. And listen to the definition. It means to detest, especially to persecute, by extension, to love less. Okay, so that's where we get the idea of loving less. So in the use, it is to hate, to pursue with hatred, to detest. And that's it. There's no other definition. There's no roots. That is the root. Miseo, to detest, to love less. And you know what it means to detest there? It actually is what Jesus is saying. If you understood that these are the very things that get in the way of your relationship with God, boil that relationship, you would never make it more important than God. You would not make any relationship on this earth with anybody or anything more important than your relationship with God, because it would spoil that relationship. And you need to detest that. You need to have within you an understanding that while we're called to love everybody, you see, it's a very critical balancing act, isn't it? I mean, we love and value and appreciate all that God has given us. But when what God has given us starts to get in the way of our obedience to God, I know people right now that are suffering like crazy because they refused the counsel of the Lord and made idols out of individuals in their family, whether they're children or whatever. They made idols out of their stuff, and they made their stuff more important to the point they had lost their relationship. There's an eclipse. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I love all you people on this planet. I'm actually going to die on a cross for you, but not one of you are going to get in the way of my relationship with God. Not one of you are going to stand in the way. And that's the attitude we have. So we're not being self-righteous, holier than thou. Either we're going to obey the first commandment, which is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Put it in the proper order. And the way you do that is, Jesus said, you got to hate. You have to despise anything that would get in the way. Anything that would get in the way with that relationship. Because this is intense, eternal stuff here. And I know it's a hard word, but I think it's very simple to understand that, you know, Jesus was basically saying, listen, if you're going to follow me, and I'm going after the Father, I mean, this is all about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you've got to be willing to let things go. And then he closes it up with this thought in verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower. Okay, he's talking to these people that were following him, right? And he's saying, how many of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost? Whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Now think about that. After he has laid the foundation, you know, the Bible talks about foundational teaching, the foundations of our faith. And a lot of people start with foundational stuff, but what happens when we start talking about persecution? What happens when we start talking about taking up your cross and dying to yourself? I mean, the foundation is mercy, the day of resurrection, the judgment, you know, the elementary doctrines and the principles belonging to the kingdom of God, the doctrines of Christ, the elementary foundational. God loves you. God's mercy is abundant. God's grace is rich. You're justified. You know, these are doctrines of justification, sanctification. The atonement is a doctrine. Glorification, the doctrine of mercy, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine. These are foundational. God loves you. These are foundational doctrines. And somebody, in what Jesus is telling them, well, you could lay the foundation to start to build, but if you don't count the cost, you may not have enough to finish. And the question is, are you able to finish? Are we able to finish when the persecution comes, when hatred comes? When the love of many is waxing cold, when the world around us hates us because of Jesus Christ, who we serve. Well, the last look, the Bible teaches there's going to be a great apostasy, a great falling away, because people aren't going to be able to handle the pressure. In other words, they're starting out in their foundational walk. There goes your once saved, always saved doctrine right out the window. Jesus is literally telling them that, you know, less happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And then he continues, or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? So why is Jesus using these parables? He's telling the people that were following him, the great multitudes, hey, listen, if you don't hate your life and everything about you, you need to know something. You need to know that as you go, you may see your loved ones suffer deeply, and you cannot stop. If you're going to follow me, you cannot be burdened by what goes on around you. You have to have a forehead like flint, and you need to know that if your loved one dies and then you are going to give up because that loved one dies, that your heart was on that loved one more than it was on Christ. He's literally telling this to the people that were following him, the multitudes. And he understood something. He understood that there would come a time when you follow Jesus, you're going to pay a price. It's going to cost you your life. And if you love your own life, don't try to be a disciple of Jesus, because if you really follow him, it's going to cost you your life in many cases. And he's telling these multitudes of people, listen, you cannot be my disciple unless you give up everything in this world. Listen to how he says it here in verse 32, or else, while the other is a yet great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, verse 33, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, there's many followers, but what about disciples? So are you kind of getting it, you know, what Jesus is actually saying? About, you know, you sit down, consider the cost before you build your house or your tower, and make sure that when you're going to battle that you can handle it with your in other words, think this thing through. And what he's telling them, he knew where he was going. He was going to the cross. And all these people are following him, clueless that there's a great suffering that lies ahead. And so he turns around and he tells them, listen, and if we could put it in our modern day vernacular, the Lord was basically saying, I really appreciate that you guys are around here and I'm able to perform these miracles for you and heal you and feed you the supernatural bread from heaven and fish and loaves and all that stuff. You know, I'm so glad that you're listening to my sermons and I'm so thankful and happy about that. But I need to tell you something. Just a few miles ahead, there's going to be a storm of violence that's going to come against me and it's going to come against everybody that's following me. And I'm telling you right now, that this level of persecution is going to be so intense that unless you pick up your cross and put a death sentence on you and everything and everyone around you, you're not going to be able to finish this. I mean, it's wonderful that you have the doctrines of grace and mercy and love and kindness and all those wonderful doctrines. That's wonderful. But you're not understanding that in the last days, all nations will hate you because of my name's sake. Now, are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? You see, and it's just a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. And so Jesus is saying, you gotta X yourself out here with the cross. You have to understand that if you're going to be my disciple, then you're going to follow me as I'm going to the cross, as I'm going to be slaughtered, as I'm going to lay my life down, as I'm going to pay for the sins of the whole world. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to follow, you're going to taste some of that. I mean, obviously not all of it. None of us are going to take on the sins of the world. Thank you, Jesus. But we may be martyred, we may be persecuted and suffer greatly. But we've been reading in 2 Corinthians that when we suffer greatly, it's only for a moment, and it's actually working for us, that suffering or affliction, a far more exceeding weight, eternal weight of God's glory. So, you know, I step back and I know all the stuff that's going on in the world, right? And you know what they are? They are signs of the times. When you listen to Patrick Wood here in a little bit, they are signs of the times. Signs of the times. And by the way, God is so good. The Holy Spirit is so brilliant. He showed me how to take CDs from like Kerm Radio and convert to, yeah, to download them, upload them, convert them from AAIF files. God showed me how to do it last night. I mean, it was really amazing. And that's why in just a few minutes, you're going to be able to hear this interview from Kerm Radio on Omega Radio. And if I could get it to Blog Talk, I would have done it this morning. I just didn't have enough time. But Omega Radio, man, it's going to knock it out of the park. You want to hear the real deal? You want to hear the heart of men and women who love God and have a relevant message? It's there, okay? It's coming. But this message, Jesus is teaching us, to me, is just profound because it's more intimate and personal about our very existence, our very lives. To me, it's profound. If I have all knowledge and all prophecy and I know all things but have not love, it's nothing. And what love? Love for God first. That, Lord, you could take anything away from me. My life could be thrown into prison. I could be shipwrecked or hanging on the side of a mountain. You could take anything from my life, and I'm not going to deny you. And yet we live in an age when people are going to deny the Lord left and right. All around us, it's going to happen. People are going to throw in the towel. We're attempting, by the grace of God, to raise up a people that will stand in the evil day. See, our job, Patricia and I, our job is genuinely to be an example of how you can stand when pressure comes, because we've known a little bit about pressure. We've known what it is for people that have wanted to shoot and kill us. We've heard the death threats. We have seen the warfare. We've seen our ministry and lives taken to the internet and blasphemed as much as you can, accused. We have seen pressure. We know what it is to be stretched beyond measure to a degree. And it's probably going to be more so in the days ahead. Only God knows. But our whole ministry is standing regardless, and not standing because we're great, standing because the grace of God and God's hands, because we didn't give up and throw in the towel when things got tough. So our whole ministry is to be an example of what it means to continue on in spite of the lack of funds, the lack of respect, the lack of, you know, growth, the lack of those things never from moving forward. So we just continue on. But also in preparing the body of Christ, so that by teaching the truth of God's word, not tickling people's ears, telling them they're going to fly away in a pre-trib rapture, or once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, these godless doctrines, you know, Christians can't have demons. They all flow together. Well, a Christian can't have a demon. Once you're saved, you're always saved, and you're going to fly away before anything bad happens. You know, that's a really, really, that's dangerous doctrine, because there's no oomph in that. There's no oomph. There's no substance in that. That's always, you know, cosmetic. It's glass. It's not good. We need the substance of understanding. That's why when Jesus turned around and he said to the people, the multitudes, the great multitudes, folks, you can't follow me unless you take up your cross, because where I'm going, your very life, let alone everything around you, is at risk. You want to follow Jesus? You want to be a real Christian? A disciple? Do you want to be a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined one. Disciplined in what? Disciplined in obedience to the word of God, to do what it says to do. That's a death to self right there. Just to forgive somebody is a death to self. It's really wounded you. And yet the obedient disciple will forgive even the person that abused them physically, sexually, verbally. People have gotten raped. Yes, he does demand you forgive the rapist. He does demand that you forgive Uncle Joe or whoever that raped you when you were a 10-year-old little boy. Because we've heard the stories of homosexual men, but and we ask, how did you get here? Well, when I was 10, my uncle raped me. So that person's life goes into a tailspin. And yet when they find Christ or Christ finds them, they are, if they're going to be a disciple, to forgive whatever has happened. And so it is. Your wife left you. Your husband left you. Your parents abandoned you. You and I, as disciples, must forgive. And that is a death to our human nature. But it also becomes very physical at times. Jesus was marching on to war, man. He was going up to the mountaintop to fight the greatest battle to ever be fought in the history of the universe. And that's when he went to the cross. I mean, he won the battle, but he made it very clear, if we're going to be his disciples, we must hate everything, despise it, if it even glimmers as getting in the way. Now, it doesn't. I don't think he's projecting an attitude of, you know, meanness. It's an understanding that these things just can't get in the way of my relationship. I am a disciple. I have been inspired by something outside of myself. I love Jesus, and my love for him is greater than my love for anybody or anything on this earth. I'm not going to strive to become. I'm going to humble myself. You see, that's the whole context of what we've talked about today. I'm going to get ready to forsake it all. To forsake it all. That's what he said here. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, isn't that interesting that people spend their whole lives to achieve, to get, to amass. And yet the rich young ruler meets Jesus, and Jesus is talking with him, and he says, hey, master, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. I've been such a good boy, and I'm rich. And he says, okay, there's one thing you've got to do. You go, sell all your riches, give it to the poor, and you come and follow me, and your riches will be in the kingdom. And he went away from the Lord, sad and sorrowful. Some people have preached that that rich young ruler, that he was Barnabas, that later on in the book of Acts, he came and sold everything he had and laid it at the apostles' feet. What a beautiful thought that is. But isn't that, you know, most of us are not rich, but we've labored to have something. God has blessed us with something. We look around our lives and we go, man, you know, the Lord has really blessed my life. And yet to be a disciple means you have to be willing to forsake it all. And what does that mean? Well, out of our religious enthusiasm and zeal, I think there are many people out there listening right now that would just say, here, Where do you want me to give it? Here it is. You could have it all. The land, the house, the cars, the money. You could have it all, Lord. I think there's people that are zealous enough to do that. But now all of a sudden you're standing and you have no direction beyond that. Well, your direction has to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and carrying your cross and going into the world and doing the work of the kingdom. You see, I happen to believe it's very much a heart attitude that God's looking at. God does not look at the outward performance. There are people that give their whole bodies to be burned on the cross, but they have not love. There are people that give all they have to the poor, but they have not love. So you have to be super careful about these external things because it's always coming back to a heart attitude. What is 2019 going to look like? Any predictions out there? We're going to have a meeting on New Year's Eve, and we're going to begin at 8 o'clock, and we have invited a number of people, and obviously everybody at New Wine Ministries is invited to get a word from the Lord for 2019. Sit down in your prayer closet for a little bit, get a notepad and paper and pen, and sit down and listen to the Holy Spirit and get an understanding. What does it look like the days ahead? How will marking this new year in the Gregorian calendar, you know, what's it going to look like? What is 2019 going to look like? And we want to hear from God. We want to know, Lord, what are you saying to the ecclesia, the church? What are you saying about what we're going to face? How would you prepare us and equip us to go forward more than we already have? What do you require of us? What do you desire of us? Our lives are abandoned to you. We're not putting our hope, faith, and trust in anything on this earth. Everything is subject to your desire. What do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? And we want to hear the Holy Spirit that is ministering these words of knowledge and understanding and revelation to the to people that are listening to him, not eating cupcakes, ding-dongs, and pizza and then getting a prophetic revelation. No, no epiphanies that way. We really not coming out of the vain imagination of the soulical man. We don't want to hear that either. What we want is we desire, and we want this all year long, by the way. We want to hear God say, this is the way, walk ye in it. We want to understand. If God wants us to give things up, then we need to be prepared to give them up. If God wants us to lay things down, we need to be prepared to lay things down. We need to hear him right now. You see, when those multitudes were following him, those great multitudes, he turned deliberately to them and got their attention and spoke to them. And he made it very clear, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to hate everything around you, including your own life. You've got to love it less and despise it if it seems to get in the way. And then if you have to take up your cross. You see, he gave them a word of knowledge, and he was doing it because he loved them, because he was telling them what is ahead. What is ahead? You have to have a death sentence on you. The Apostle Paul said the sentence of death was upon us, and that's why they continued to do what they were doing. Now, how does that fly in the face of an abundant life? A life without sorrow, a life without suffering, a life without affliction, a life without trouble. Kind of contradictory. You know what we have? And again, I do not advocate to anybody on this planet to walk around looking like you were weaned on a pickle and baptized in lemon juice. I mean, get the image. Go ahead, a little baby. Rather than sucking the breast, sucking a pickle and getting that sour look. And then being baptized, not in the sweet waters of the Jordan, but in pickle juice, right? So we don't want to walk around looking sour. And, you know, it's not about beating ourselves and crawling on our knees like the Catholics of old used to do and scraping their knees as a, you know, a message to God of how dedicated. No. No, the fruit of the Holy Spirit remains to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what we're going through on a daily basis. You could actually carry a cross with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice and count it all joy. I mean, every message from the man who went through the most affliction we've ever known, the Apostle Paul, and Peter and John, they all suffered greatly. And they always tell us the same thing. Don't act like you've been weaned on a pickle and baptized in pickle juice or lemon juice or whatever. No, no, no. Be joyful. And how do you remember what it says in Corinthians? Our light and momentary affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So that's kind of what I was getting this morning in my heart. Maybe you're out there today and you're tuned into the broadcast. And if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 818-369-0326. I hope you're biting at the bit waiting for just a few more minutes. And we're going to turn that Patrick Wood interview from yesterday on. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. What a sweet spirited man Patrick Wood is. And there comes a moment in the interview where like this holy hush, from my perspective, sitting in the radio booth yesterday at Kerm Radio, it's like a holy hush came over the whole universe. Brilliant light of understanding just whooshed right into the, you know, your being. You're going to hear that in this interview. And then right afterwards, you're going to hear Carl Gallups again. If you haven't heard that interview with Carl Gallups, he's going to blow you away. Man, I'm telling you, this is going to be great stuff for everybody today. And I'm so excited to be able to share it with you. But I'd like to hear your comments about what I'm talking about this morning. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Have I gone too far in one direction this morning by reading these verses? Do I need to balance that out somehow more than what I have? Or are you just, you know, what does this mean to you? What does this message mean to you? How will it help you? How does it give you wisdom and understanding and knowledge? You know, what is it saying to you? I could tell you what it does in me. It actually liberates me. It actually has a shout within it of freedom. You know, there's such a liberty in what Jesus is really saying. If you really look at it and take it in, he's really proclaiming the greatest liberty in your personal experience. That's how I perceive it. I don't know why. Am I supposed to perceive it that way? Or is this more of a message of bondage and heaviness and restriction? And is the cross that? Or is there liberty in the cross? Is there freedom in the cross? Is there success and power in the cross? See, I don't see it as a morbid thing. I don't know why. Maybe I should. I don't get it. But I just see this message of Christ. You know, you're living for God first and foremost and alone, and everything else around you that's connected to you is a secondary thing. I am secondary to people that are in my life. They are secondary to me. I am secondary to them. And I like the idea that we both have an understanding that neither one of us are going to get in the way of the personal relationship that we have with God. See, I like that idea. Try to get in my way. Don't try to influence me. When Peter did that to Jesus, what happened? I mean, Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter said, "No, Lord, you will not go to the cross." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because Peter was starting to interfere with the purpose and the mission of Christ. And it was all well-intended. It was good. He wasn't trying to be mean or bad. He was trying to show his love and his favor. But even that got in the way of where Christ had to go. And you know, you and I have to get somewhere. Do you know that? You and I have to get to Gethsemane. You and I have to get to that place where a stone's throw away is where all of our friends are, but we're drinking the cup. There's no way to avoid the cup. We have to get there. Maybe this message is kind of too much for people, you know? Maybe mentally people can't handle this conversation. I don't know. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe you've worked so hard and you've had so much suffering in your life and affliction and trouble in your life that you finally got to a place where things are just kind of, all right, just don't budge, don't breathe. It's okay right now. And this message is kind of stirring up the waters in your soul, and it's making you nervous or afraid or something like that. Don't entertain that. Don't go there. That is unnecessary altogether. I'm waiting for your call this morning. 818-369-0326. And press 1 on your dial pad. I'll make sure to bring you directly into the broadcast. We've got about 15 minutes, and we don't want to waste time at all. And again, I hope that everybody that is listening on your telephone, that you're already preparing for that omegaradio.org, because at the click of a button, I'm going to be playing that message with Patrick Wood yesterday. So I hope you'll be prepared to join me for that omegaradio.org. But we still have a few minutes, and wanting to know how you're doing out there. What does this message do to you? How do you receive this message? Do you see it in the liberty that I kind of see it in? Do you see it as a more determined walk with God, that nothing is going to get in your way from obeying Him, honoring Him, and following His script, the Scriptures? You know, He's already laid it out. We already have the Logos Word of God, right? We have the written Word of God before us. We can read it. And then we have that Rhema Word, where God speaks to us spiritually. And so Patricia Joy is going to yield her program today. She wants to make sure that the Patrick Wood interview is heard by everybody. God bless you, Patricia. I think she has one of the greatest messages, because it details our salvation, deliverance. But she wants to hear this too. She wants the people to hear this great interview, and we want to be sensitive to that. So here's what we'll do. There's a lot of people listening right now by the phone, but nobody's calling in. So I'm thinking that probably what we'll do is we'll bring this Blog Talk Radio broadcast to a close. But first, I want to share a little bit more information for what we'll be doing. I was telling you, on New Year's Eve, from 8 p.m. till midnight, we're going to be gathering together to get that word of the Lord. And I hope you'll come. I mean, you live somewhere else outside the state. Man, you know what? If God's going to be speaking somewhere, and I hope He does, I really do, I've seen it for years where He does, maybe there's something special for your life. You're going to want to make it a point to be a part of that. Well, we welcome you to come on out to Northwest Arkansas, come to the New Wine Ministry Worship Center, and just be a part of that evening. We'd love to welcome the new year in with you. And I don't think there's any other detailed information to really share. So I'm going to go ahead and begin my close here on Blog Talk Radio and shift on over to the Omega Radio Network. Are you ready for this? I hope today was a blessing to you. I hope the words of God were true. So I'm going to say goodbye right now to Omega Radio. I'm going to end the broadcast. I'll see you over at omegaradio.org. Remember, hit that big button, that listen live button or listen now button on the right. There are two big buttons. Hit one of those that says listen, and that'll take you to a screen for Omega Radio, and you'll push the big play button, and that'll take you to another littler screen with another play button. Hit that one, and you'll be tuning in and listening to the Omega Radio Network, okay? Well, it's been a blessing to be with you today. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a super blessed day. Head on over to Omega. I'm going to Omega right now. Shalom and God bless. All right, ladies and